Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hey, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
This is the show where the two of us speak about subjects.
Like breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
And Griffin does breakdancing performances.
Yeah.
And I commentate on their exceptionalness.
So let's get started.
Ooh. Oh, he's doing spins.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
He's making everybody in our house.
The friction on the carpet hurts.
Concern for his well-being.
And here's a new one. You ready?
Now,
that's a new one. I've been working on that.
Was that?
Yeah, I'll do it again real quick.
Was that like a joint popping out?
My butt. It my butt.
Your butt popped?
It my butt popped.
Is that what they mean when they say to make it pop?
They do mean that. They mean to do like
to make that actual pop noise.
Like the lollipop, ba-doom, boom, like that sound.
Uh-huh.
But with your butt.
Okay.
Never thought about that before, have you?
You're almost saying that like it's a challenge.
It's the way I'm sitting right now feels very empowering.
Like, listener, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Make it pop.
Don't make it pop. I don't want to be responsible, mm-hmm. even in a little bit.
I do like this pose. Usually you're perched like a gargoyle, but this feels very conversational.
I'm very relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm sitting legs crossed, not even with my face facing you. My body is sort of turned away. I feel
I like
very
it.
Much like I'm hosting a podcast right now.
Good. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. You have a small wonder.
Oh, really raced into that one.
You have one. I know it. Inside, I can see it. Inside you, it's a light shining from within your torso.
Ooh, can I take one that you maybe were going to say?
Uh-huh.
The Stranger Things.
We did say that last week.
Did we
mention last week.
Did we talk about?
We did finish the Stranger Things. I thought it was, I can't remember a more fun television watching experience.
Super fun. This was one of those rare seasons where they bring in new characters and I'm like super invested in them. A lot of times I'm like, just give me the old crew. That's all I want.
Yeah.
But then there were new people and I was like, I like those new people too.
Yeah. It was scary and it was exceedingly campy, but in a way that they committed to without being the least bit winky about it, which is so refreshing to see that. Like, it takes me out of it so quick. When a movie is like clearly doing some sort of pastiche, I love I'll watch any Marvel movie, but I feel like they're bad about this. Where like anytime they do any kind of pastiche, they're like, I get it. And in this one, it's like, we're going to do it, but we're going to do it fucking hard. And we are not going to like break even a little bit.
I thought of another small wonder since we've already talked about that one.
Yeah.
Just kind of the window air conditioning unit, how it is advanced in technology. We live in a two-story house currently. One story has a working HVAC unit. The other story does not. It has been impossible for us to get somebody out here. But what they did give us on the day that they broke it forever was a window unit, which, you know, I remember as like the little thing that you actually put in the window, like perilously perched on your sill.
Sure.
And said, let's hope this thing stays where it's supposed to be. Now it's like a big robot guy you set on the floor and it's just got a little tube that goes out the window.
Oh, man.
And it is the reason we have been able to sleep every night.
I mentioned this to Rachel and you made a face, but I think
maybe you've had time. We'll agree with you.
Window unit AC just hits different from central air.
Yeah.
You get that outside smell in a lot cleaner with a window unit.
It also, I mean, it definitely feels cold in a way of like, it just like hits you when you walk into the room.
Of course, that is also because it contrasts with the fact that it's 100 fucking degrees everywhere else on the first floor of our house, which is not pleasant.
Our kids have been real troopers about it largely because they sleep on the second floor, so it has been able to stay cool where they are. But like Griffin and I, by the end of the day, we just, man, it
sucks.
It takes everything for us to not just, you know, call it.
Yeah.
Just say, this is it. This is the end.
I'm going to say another TV thing. We just started watching the new season of Barry last night.
Yeah.
And that show still absolutely kicks ass. It's going in some dark directions.
Yeah. It is so charming in the way it gives you like a real insider view into what it's like to be an actor.
Yes.
You know, like that is something I didn't really expect from the show. But I feel like it does a really good job of being like, hey, this is kind of the gross part of being an actor.
Yeah.
And it still is exciting, but it's gross.
God, there's a part. So Elsie Fisher from Eighth Grade, who is delightful. She was on my Bim Bam for a Guestbert segment. Yeah. Is on this season. And she's like a part of this show that one of the other characters is on. And she witnesses like a pretty horrific like argument that should not have taken place like in this professional or anywhere or in this professional environment. And so one of the like camera operators is like consoling her like, oh, you really, I'm so sorry that you had to see that. But, and then her walkie beeps and she's like, what's that? Oh, you need it on set. Let's go. Like just immediately like walks away from this like conversation.
That it was pivot of the ability of being like, oh, you're a human being with needs. Oh, but there's a
showtime.
There's a job to do.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. That show's good. We're only two episodes in, but good Lord.
I imagine it turns out great for everybody.
I bet everything turns out fantastic.
At the end, it's like maybe there should never be any more murder in the world.
Maybe that and is how
they
it
all
goes.
Join hands and there's a hugging.
Do you go first this week? I don't know.
I do go first this week.
Please give it to me.
I was really excited when I came up with this topic.
Oh, boy.
Because it's a fun one.
Okay,
my topic is the Weekly World News.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember the Bat Boy?
Yeah, I mean, everybody who was alive, I think, between the years of, like, 1998 to 2003.
Oh, it was even before that.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, Bat Boy's earlier than that. It's actually, it was the 30-year anniversary of Bat Boy on June 23rd.
Okay, but that is it's still not in publication, the Weekly World News, is it?
Well, it's still a website.
Oh, okay.
You can't like go to a grocery store and see it on the shelves anymore.
Which was my, I would say, sole exposure to Bat Boy is that they would have what would essentially now be like an internet shock image.
Uh-huh.
But on the fucking front of their thing.
Uh-huh.
At the checkout at Big Bear or Kroger's.
Yeah, no, that's what was fun about it. There was a period of time, as I imagine is true for a lot of elementary school age children, where I hit this real interest in the kind of goofy, like, paranormal stuff, you know?
Sure.
And it was difficult to find because there wasn't really internet, you know? And so you would have to get, like, a book about it. But then there was this magazine that was out there and was like, let me tell you about those aliens, Rachel. And yeah. I was like, cool, this is fun.
Was it a magazine or was it like a print?
It was like a print, like a black and white print.
Right. Okay. Thing.
But it was like with the magazines at the checkout.
Sure. And it blended in just so surreptitiously.
So it
You'd be flipping through and it'd be like Cameron Diaz, Cameron Diaz, Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz, Bat Boy. Cameron Diaz.
So that is the thing. So that is kind of how the Weekly World News hit its stride, is that initially it was just kind of another tabloid. So the National Enquirer switched from black and white to color in 1979, and the Enquirer still had this black and white press. And so Gene Pope, who was the owner, said, like, what are we going to do with this thing? Maybe make another one. That's like a little more like globally news of the weird focused.
Yes. Way more supernatural in nature.
Well, so that's the thing. So when it first started, it was 1979. It started, and initially it was just kind of combing existing papers specifically for weird stories.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So again, before like Google, there was really no one place to get all those weird stories. And so what they would do is they would, and this is like 80% of the stories they published, they would have three or four what they called clippers who were surrounded by mountains of newspapers, and they would spend each day looking at the newspapers across the world.
What a fucking job.
Clipping stories and then basically rewriting the story and putting like a splashier headline.
That's, I mean, when you put it that way, it's a little grosser. Not as gross as I would say probably what was the standard operating procedure for the Enquirer or any other tabloid in existence, but still.
So this is a Mental Floss article that I am citing, but they talk about how those stories were usually like somebody falling off a cliff or hanging on a tree branch for 4 days until they were rescued. Like crazy, like unbelievable stories. They like put it all in one paper.
4 days is a long time to hang off a cliff.
Uh-huh.
My arms would get pretty tired, I bet.
And so that's kind of how they existed for the first 2-3 years. So like all real stories just kind of sensationalize a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's probably safe to say.
And then Eddie Klontz, who has the most newspaper name ever, became the managing editor in 1981.
Can you say it with like a thick New York accent? Like, Eddie Klontz, I need those papes on my... What just happened to me? It's me, Eddie Klontz from New York.
I was trying to prepare my own accent. I lost track of where you were going.
Yeah, I went somewhere else.
Julie, this is Eddie Klontz. Give me that scoop ASAP.
Come on, Julie. Scoop me, Eddie Klontz.
So managing editor 1981, he kind of inspired people to have a little more fun out there. They did some airbrushing to create like a half dog, half cat, for example.
Loving it.
Kind of create these stories. They usually would get a source. Like people started calling it in and saying like, hey, this crazy thing happened to me. And that was enough for them to like write a whole story about
sure.
it.
Sure. Vetting. They probably did not have a vetting department.
No.
They were just like, ooh, cat dog? Sure.
They kind of, what I was reading, so the Mental Floss, that article I was reading was kind of an oral history. And they were talking to people that used to work at the paper. And they talk about how they kind of had two audiences. They had the like humor satire audience. And then they also had the people that like wanted to believe that there was like crazy stuff out there happening
Man,
in the world.
Man, I don't know. The lengths to which they went out there, it is wild to think. It's like it reaches the level of people who like see Onion headlines and are like, yeah. Whoa, he did what?
So as... It got more extreme as they like got Photoshop, which was like, you know, a relatively new thing
sure.
when they acquired it. And so that's when you got to see more things. So previously it had been a lot of Elvis's Alive stories. So between 1988 and 1992, they did a lot of stories on Elvis still being alive. So the Los Angeles Times basically credited the Weekly World News as being the like instigator for this phenomenon that like Elvis is still out there. They were kind of the first ones to say like maybe Elvis is still out there, and so when everybody started kind of
well, I mean anyone could say that. I could say that maybe Elvis is still out there. I don't know.
Once Elvis lost steam, 1992, they developed Bat Boy, 2-foot-tall, 19-pound hybrid beast childs, highly sought after by government officials, found, do you know where Bat Boy was found?
No.
A cave in West Virginia.
Hey, okay.
Yeah.
Probably Point Pleasant.
You think?
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I think that's where Mothman is from, originally.
Oh. So they were doing, at the time, they were doing a lot of like alien kind of stories.
Yeah.
And they were putting together kind of an alien baby. And the editor at the time was kind of like, hey, you've got something there. You know, you've got the big ears, the big eyes. But we've done a lot of alien stories. Can we do something different? And then they developed this whole subterranean civilization. And wanted to make something kind of episodic that would carry through issues. Uh-huh. And so they developed Bat Boy, which was funny because they had to be careful. So it is in the grocery store checkout. So they didn't want to do anything that kind of suggested bestiality. And so they
were like, what a wild leap for anyone to make.
So they kind of suggested like, let's say it's this whole creature that lives in caves that we just now discovered.
Right.
Not like a person and a bat got together.
Right. Okay, good. I don't think, again, I get it.
Yeah.
Crossing your T's, dotting your I's,
yeah, of course.
And lowercase J's. But that seems like maybe Weekly World News, are the one who introduced the idea.
You know, everybody has a line, and the Weekly World News, that was, I guess, their line.
Okay.
So what became interesting about this? So as I mentioned, two audiences, right? The one that's like, oh, isn't Bat Boy funny? And the audience is like, maybe there's a Bat Boy. And so what ended up happening is they created this whole arc around the FBI, like trying to seek out Bat Boy.
Bat Boy was something of an anti-hero, if memory serves. Like, there was a lot of fondness for Bat Boy
yeah.
in this publication.
Yeah.
It was not, I think that's important because like, I think if you hear this story and you weren't around and didn't see these things, it's easy to imagine like this otherness that was sort of put upon the Bat Boy when really Weekly World News celebrated this fictitious Bat Child in a way that was oftentimes kind of like whimsical.
Yeah. Yeah. I would argue, I mean, like before the internet really took off, you know, there weren't memes. There wasn't The Onion, at least when they were first getting started. Like there weren't places where you could see like crazy pictures and crazy stories except for this kind of
the
publication.
Weekly World News, yeah.
So back to the FBI. So the FBI started getting calls demanding that Bat Boy be released.
So awesome.
The FBI would contact Weekly World News and say like, okay, you have to stop printing these stories because people are calling us protesting our capture of Bat Boy.
You can't stop the signal, man. This story is more important than you or I.
So Bat Boy, as Griffin mentioned, real phenomenon. There was merchandising. You can still buy Bat Boy products on the Weekly World News website. There was apparently a 1997 off-Broadway musical.
I love this.
Which I never saw. no, did you?
No.
Who was in that? Was that?
Oh, it was.
Who was that? Oh, gosh.
Gosh. It definitely had.
1997.
So in the original 97 run.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was in it. Matt Doyle was in it.
A very, very young.
Very young Matt Doyle. He was Bat Boy. Young. He played Bat Boy.
There was also talk of a feature film that never came to fruition. There were people that would develop movie scripts, but nobody went the distance.
God, I'm looking at a picture of Bat Boy right now. And the Photoshop, or I guess whatever was the rudimentary Photoshop that they used, he looks sort of like a troll's doll with a big Nosferatu mouth.
Yeah, there's definitely a Nosferatu. Somebody, some of the articles I read suggested there is a similarity to The Scream. If you want to get classy.
The eyes are so big and I would say beautiful, glistening eyes.
Yeah, it's captivating. Like, can you imagine, like, how do you pass that up? Like, I feel like I remember seeing it in the checkout lane. Like, you can't unsee that image. okay, so Gene Pope, the creator of this, passed away in 1988. They went on to continue the publication with a different leader. 1996, I don't know if you remember, there was a USA Network television series.
I do not remember
for Weekly
this.
World News, which I don't personally remember, but it seems familiar to me. So the publication ceased to be printed in 2007. August 27, 2007 was the last print issue, and then it went to the website. Which you can still find today. I mean, there's still stories in there. Apparently, it still gets picked up occasionally. In 2010, a story about the Los Angeles Police Department purchasing jetpacks was picked up by Fox News. So people are still falling for it, which is kind of entertaining. But yeah, it's not what it once was.
No,
you can still find stuff on there.
Some good stuff, I would say, including my favorite one that I just found is NASA confirms God throwing asteroids at Earth. Thanks, NASA, for the heads up. We'll keep an eye to the skies.
I never really thought about the comparison to The Onion. Like, as I was reading this oral history with people that used to work there, they talk about, like, this whole idea of like satirical media for the general public. Like, The Onion has really cornered the market on that, but Weekly World News was in there kind of early saying like,
yeah,
you can make up some crazy stuff and it can have just as much entertainment.
And the way that Onion has like extreme self-awareness and that everything is a joke, this has a, I would say, slightly lower but still definitely present level of self-awareness, where when they run an article like fire breaks out on the moon, there's not somebody with like a, you know.
I saw an article about the Eiffel Tower being eaten by termites. And if you're like in the middle of the country in the US and you don't have access to cable news,
sure,
and there isn't internet, like I could see you having a moment being like, wait.
Turn my TV.
For real though?
Made of wood?
No. But, you know, it was kind of, it was before you could really fact check anything,
sure,
you know? And so it's kind of, I don't know, it's a very unique experience that I think people had reading that publication.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, I'm bringing it because I found it kind of like charming and delightful, this idea that there are people out there just kind of swinging for the fences.
Sure.
Creating these kind of like extraterrestrial stories. And I don't know. I always found it really charming.
Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Got a couple Grandpa Johns here, and this first one I would love to read because it is for Maddie, and it is from Maddie, who says, "Hey me, it's me. I hope this message is what you need to hear right now. You look beautiful today. You're happier than yesterday. The days keep getting better. You may feel like you're falling so far, but the landing won't hurt at all. When the falling feels like too much, make Grandma's brownies, have a good cry, and breathe. You are so loved."
Ah.
That's really nice. I don't know if that one line was make the recipe your grandma taught you for brownies, or go out there.
Get your favorite grandmas together.
Wrangle up some grannies.
And make them brownies.
And make them some brownies.
Both would be great.
Both would make you feel better, I bet. Do you want to do the second one?
I do. Oh, wow. Hey, look. This is for Evelyn. It is from Evelyn. We got buddies sending messages to themselves.
Through time.
They don't even know each other, and now they do.
Wow, beautiful.
"Evelyn, this note is to a very important person in my life, myself. You've been through a lot and worked hard to be a person you're proud of. Remember to keep looking for wonderful things like your cats, your friends, living in Austin, and that you can always try something new. I couldn't do it without you, and thanks to all the McElroys for bringing me joy."
You're welcome. Gosh, it's time, finally time someone said it, huh? We're breaking our backs over here.
Evelyn, hold down Austin for us.
Please lock it down and...
Keep it great.
Keep it great. Keep it fun. Keep it weird is something we like to say.
Hi, I'm looking for a movie.
Oh, I gotcha.
There's that new foreign film with the time travel.
There's an amazing documentary about queer history on streaming.
Have I told you about this classic where giant robots fight?
Or there's that one that most critics hated, but I thought was actually pretty good.
Ooh, I know. The one with the huge car chase, and then there's that scene where...
The car jumps over the submarine.
Wow, who are you eclectic movie experts?
Well, I'm Ify Wadiway.
I'm Drea Clark.
And I'm Alonzo Duraldi. And together, we host the movie podcast, Maximum Film.
New episodes every week on MaximumFun.org.
And you actually just walked into our recording booth.
Oh, weird. Sorry. I thought this was a video store.
You seem like a lady with a lot of problems.
Carrie, is it?
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Carrie.
I am Psychic Ross, and I will be reading you this evening.
Oh, interesting. Well, okay. I co-host a podcast. It's called Ono, Ross, and Carrie.
Yes, I'm sensing that. The spirits are telling me. It is a show about
poodles. Well, it's about like fringe science and spirituality and claims of the paranormal.
And
oh, you knew that.
You do research online.
But more importantly, like we do in-person investigations.
In-person investigate as well.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
See?
Me and my friend, this is so weird. My friend Ross, same name as you.
Weird.
He and I just go and try them all out. And actually, we've gone to a number of psychics. And to be honest with you, it's a lot like this. It's called Ono, Ross, and Carrie. They can find it at MaximumFun.org.
I could have told you that.
Got a spicy one for you.
Okay.
Takis. Curiously, we have two episodes in our back catalog that have the word Takis in the title.
But aren't about Takis.
Not about Takis. One, I believe, is called Hot Brie and Takis, where you talked about Brie. I don't know if you talked about pairing Takis with them or not. We have another one called Eating All the Takis. It was an early one, but like, I don't think there were. I skimmed through it. Didn't hear any actual talkies. Discussion.
No, I mean, this is some. This is a snack food that I didn't have until I moved here.
It is definitely a new phenomenon for me, and we are going to do it now. We are talking talkies now. I would say only for the past few years I've been eating talkies, and I not frequently, but when I do get the urge, when I do get the desire to eat talkies, it hits me like a truck, and I cannot think of anything else.
Yeah,
until I secure some talkies.
No, there is no substitution. It's not like, you know, a Lay's versus a Ripple situation. Like,
there are pretenders to the throne. I believe Doritos has a chip called a Dynamita or something like that. That is a similarly rolled corn tortilla chip, which is what a Taki is, if you are not familiar.
Trader Joe's has a good, like, chili lime knockoff that is, I enjoy.
I enjoy it because it is slightly less devastating.
Yeah, do you like a spicy, did you have a spicy chip experience prior to this?
No, not one that I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Which again, you can tell we're excited to talk about Takis. Because I don't know that everybody knows what a Taki is. It is a rolled up tortilla chip that is spicy beyond, it is flavorful beyond definition.
Similar to a Cheeto in that the covering is so dense that your hands will be covered in it while eating them.
Only Cheeto dust doesn't possess a sort of corrosive property in the same way that Takis.
No, my mouth's watering just talking about it.
We got some Takis downstairs. I ate some for lunch. About
with your leftovers?
With my leftovers.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was leftover Thai food.
Sprinkle it on top.
No, it was like a post. There wasn't that much Thai food in there, so I just had some Takis.
Yeah, okay.
To polish it off, and then like when I was writing my notes, like an hour and a half later, I still had a pretty spicy mouth from the Takis I'd eaten 90 minutes prior. It is, man. It's extremely spicy. It is also super sour. So it just kind of overwhelms all of your senses with just a single chip is just all it takes.
No, it's true. Like it's the kind of chip where, you know, when you're eating a Pringle and then like 10 minutes later, you've eaten 25 Pringles.
Can't do that with a Taki.
Yeah, Taki, you've really got to keep track of how many you're eating.
Yeah. Set a timer on your phone or watch. The chip itself is also really good. It's a little bit thicker than your average, like a Tostito, which means you have to work just a little bit harder to chew it up, which means that flavor is just a little bit more time to take up residence in your mouth and destroy your tongue. So Takis are made by a company named Barcel, which is under a Mexican corporation named Grupo Bimbo. They were introduced in Mexico in 1999, and they were imported into the States in 2004.
So this is, I mean, it's new to the country, but new to us in our experience. I didn't know that there weren't Takis when we were kids.
No, certainly not in the States. But when it did hit the States, it sort of became a much sort of broader, multicultural demographic hit than Barcel was sort of anticipating. But I think everywhere now, these days.
Yeah, I don't even know if prior to the song Hot Cheetos and Takis, if I had had a Taki.
I had not. I definitely had not. Taki is, of course, a play on taquitos, the rolled taco, which this is, of course, a sort of derivative of. Something else I love about Takis.
All right.
And I did just haul a bunch of stuff downstairs. In the break.
He's not breathless from his Takis enthusiasm.
I did eat some Takis while I was hauling stuff downstairs.
We both did. Let's be honest.
Yes.
And so spicy. I always
they are so very spicy.
I forget how spicy.
And that's what I love about it. The predominant Takis flavor on the market is Fuego, which uses hot chili pepper and lime seasoning. And usually, that's all you can find on store shelves. It's the one that comes in the purple bag.
Yeah, and honestly, like I read that as a Westerner that was like, where's the mild Taki, please?
Well, Fuego is the spiciest Taki that there is, which is what I love about it, is that you got your Cheetos and your Doritos, right? And those have spicy flavors, sure.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. I was like, where is the, like, just a smidge of spicy?
The Takis flavor that is by far the most common one that you will find on store shelves is Fuego.
Wow.
And it is the spiciest, according to the Wikipedia article.
I did notice on the bag, though, that they were marketing other kinds that I had never seen before.
Yeah, there's one that doesn't have...
There's like a blue one.
There's a blue one that doesn't have the lime flavor. I think it's just the spicy chip, but for me, the lime really sets it off. That's like... That gets you that good tahini flavor.
Why would you want it blue?
I don't know. Yeah, that's just going to get all over it.
I mean, I feel that way about most foods, though. Like when a beverage is blue, you know, or a candy is blue.
High risk game that you're doing.
Yeah.
There are other flavors, which I'm going to describe some of now, because the flavor names of Takis are almost universally exceptional. There is a flavor that is chili cheese flavored called Party. there's a habanero and cucumber flavor named Zombie.
Wow.
And my personal favorite, there is a pickle and like cheeseburger flavored Taki called Angry Burger. And I am deeply curious about that one, because I don't like pickles, but I do love pickle seasoning on, you know, popcorn.
We should say here, as much as we would welcome the gift of Takis.
We are moving. Please don't send us anything.
Please don't send us anything.
Please don't send us anything.
But I've never seen those on shelves before, and I'm curious.
I have to imagine that they are a rarity. Becoming more common are other Takis products, like Takis Waves, which are potato chips. They're like Ruffles, but with Taki, you know, Fuego seasoning. That doesn't sound so good to me. I don't know that I like a potato chip as much as I like a spicy corn chip.
Yeah.
But there is Takis Pop, which is just Takis flavored popcorn, and I bet that fucking rips. Yeah. I bet that's real good. So Takis has also been the subject of a number of health advisories, some more sensationalist than others. I don't know. I feel like around the Hot Cheetos and Takis drop is when this prevalence amongst young people eating hyper-spicy Takis became sort of a big thing. And so around like 2018, there were a lot of rumors, let's call them, that, you know, overconsumption of Takis led to an increase in risk of like different stomach cancers and ulcers, but that's not, it's not, okay, it has no scientific basis whatsoever. However... around that same time, more than a few pediatricians came out and said, like, oh, yeah, like the number of kids we have received in our hospital and emergency rooms for like acute gastritis is.
Oh, that makes me sad so for little Griffin that ate all that hot sauce.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Young Griffin didn't know what he was talking about. So Barcel themselves said in 2018, they like responded to these reports and said that Takis are safe to eat in moderation, which is just another reason that I like them, because I know I can only have maybe like 8 to 10 Takis in one sitting, and then I need to walk away. So I don't like overstuff myself, and I get completely flavor blasted, like instantly. And then I can just feel good about like the amount of restraint I've just employed and not like eating so many Takis that I hurt myself.
Uh-huh.
It's an exercise in I don't know, wisdom and judgment, and a delicious one at that, I would say. So yeah, eat Takis responsibly. Eat, I guess, whatever responsibly, but especially Takis and Hot Cheetos. They got in some hot water around the same era.
You know, also, I don't think I've ever had a Hot Cheeto.
I've had an Andy Capp's Hot Fries, and it was so, and I imagine this might damage my brand. So gross, so gross and bad that the idea of another sort of puffed spicy experience is just a non-starter for me.
Do they, and this may be me like making some false equivalencies, but do they taste kind of like a potato straw but spicy?
Andy Capp's Hot Fries?
Yeah.
No, Andy Capp's Hot Fries are more sort of like eating a very... very savory, very spicy insulation is kind of how I would describe it. In my high school, for whatever reason, there was a vending machine right next to the Fruitopia vending machine that had like different little 5-stick packs of gum that you get for a quarter, and then like 3 rows of honey buns and 3 rows of Andy Capp's Hot Fries. And that would be lunch. would be a Fruitopia, some Andy Capp's hot fries, a honey bun, and then like a stick of Big Red.
So you kept eating the Andy Capps?
No, I didn't. I didn't eat them. Okay. I had them when my friends got them out of vending machines. I never sought out Andy Capps because I think they were, I knew then they were gross.
And you just wanted to look cool with your friends.
Sure. You know, your friends are hanging out underneath the bleachers in gym class. And you're like, what are you guys doing down there?
Just holding
like,
the hot fry between like,
no,
two
Griffin,
fingers.
You don't want any of this shit.
This makes me look so sophisticated.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's Takis. They fucking rule. They're so there's no other eating experience on the planet like it. And if it scratches this itch, it fills this category for me that when I start to crave Takis, literally nothing else will do.
Yeah. No, it's that lime thing. I think that's the big that's the big deal, right? Like I love a lime tortilla chip.
Sure.
Like for me it's pretty much exclusively.
Can't beat it.
What I'll buy. But the spicy and the lime.
Oh boy. I've already hit my quota for today of Takis. I've actually had about 15, so I need to stop.
Okay.
Or else I am gonna want to eat more later on. And I can't do that to myself. But what I can do is say thanks to Bowen and Augustus for these for theme song Money Won't Pay. Find a link to that in the episode description, and you're going to just love it. And we have a bunch of stuff at McElroyMerch.com that you should go check out. And we have shows coming up for Mabim Bam and Taz. And do we have any wonderful live shows?
No, we
on
don't.
The books?
We don't. But maybe.
In D.C., we should do one.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
We'll live there.
Should we just decide right now?
I mean, we should talk to our various representatives, but that would be a fun idea. Anyway, that's all at bit.ly/McElroyTours. Thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org, check out all the great shows there.
Yeah, I haven't listened to the new episode of Depression Mode, but I'm excited because one Justin McElroy is a guest.
Yeah, and I am also excited to hear that. You told me that yesterday. I didn't know it because I'm not plugged in to my brother's social media feeds anymore.
Well, the McElroys, they're not a braggy bunch.
I guess
know?
That's true.
It wasn't like he texted everybody like, hey, guess what?
Yeah, I'm up on depression mode.
Your bro just hit it big.
Yeah. That's it. That is it. We do need to go because just we've got stuff to do, okay? Like, we're busy people. And we have so many friends. And I have like 3 parties I've been invited to today.
Tell me about those parties.
Oh, one is from Janice.
Uh-huh. And is there like a theme or a thing with it?
George Orwell.
George Orwell party?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to go as Animal Farm.
Uh-huh. I'm going to go as the 8 in 1984. I love you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.